Today, we're going to have Steve Perlstein talk about the economics of newspapers. We're also going to start with a pretty simple question, namely, why are newspapers in such economic trouble? But at the moment, I'm going to turn this over to Steve.
One way to think about the old newspaper business is that what you paid at the newsstand or in your subscription price, that only paid to basically for the paper and the ink and have it delivered. The actual gathering of the news was paid for by advertisers. And it was a good model until three things happened. One is that a lot of readers started migrating to free online news sources. And because advertisers pay on the basis of the number of readers you have, to have fewer readers means that newspapers were able to charge less for their advertising. The second thing that happened was the decline in mass retailers, like department stores, in favor of specialty retailers where we buy now more of the stuff that we buy. The problem with specialty retailers is that they're not big enough in many instances to advertise in a mass circulation publication like a newspaper. And also, the number of mass retailers like department stores went down as they began to merge. So there were fewer mass advertisers. But the real big problem for newspapers has been the end of their classifying advertising monopoly. Classified advertising is one of those markets that are called winner-take-all markets. Usually there's one dominant player and very few others. Why is that? Because when we want to sell something, we want to go to the marketplace that has the most buyers. And when you're a buyer and you want to go and you want to buy something, you want to go to the marketplace with the most sellers, whether you're looking for a car or used furniture or an apartment. And so everyone wants to use the one that's the biggest. And so whichever classified advertising vehicle or marketplace gets out ahead, usually all of a sudden it gets so far out ahead that nobody else can compete. Well, newspapers had the classified advertising monopoly. In fact, the reason there's only one newspaper in most towns is because that's the newspaper that got ahead in classified advertising and all the rest fell away. But what happened to classified advertising could be expressed in one word. Craigslist. Craigslist came along and it was free, so more of the sellers went there, and then more of the buyers went there, and then more of the sellers and more of the buyers until, well, newspapers lost their monopoly. And it's the loss of that advertising that has really killed newspapers.
Great. Now, given all that, what is it you actually see for the future? Say you're a newspaper, do you think it's a viable strategy to play something like what's called last man standing and hope a lot of your competitors go out of business? And in the future, will we just have two or three big national papers in this country?
Well, the answer to both questions is yes and yes. It is a question of last man standing. And that last man can either just wait till the others die or can be a little more aggressive about it and go up and buy all the dying newspapers so that you get rid of as many as possible as quickly as possible so that you get economies of scale. Right now, there's more than 1,000 daily newspapers in the United States. We don't really need more than 1,000 daily news organizations. We could do very well with 20. So they're going to be larger, they're going to cover larger regions, and they'll have economies of scale.
But why are you convinced there will be men left standing, so to speak? Say all these smaller papers go out of business and their readers don't all flock to the New York Times or USA Today or wherever. What then does the sector look like? Is it nonprofit or owned by wealthy families who just suffer ongoing losses?
No,
what do you think?
There's no reason to believe the news will be any different than most of the other things we consume and buy. We will want it. Someone will have to provide it. Those people who are providing it have to work to do so. It's not easy to produce good news. And, you know, there'll be a market. There'll be a high-end market, a medium-end market, a low-end market. The key thing of the future is that people will pay for the news now. Whereas it used to be the advertisers paid for the collection of news, now we're going to have to pay. Now, how much are we going to have to pay? Well, it probably won't be a whole lot more than we used to pay for newspapers, 25 cents a day, 50 cents a day, a dollar a day, maybe for the very highest end, $2 a day, less than a cup of coffee at Starbucks. We're going to still pay that. But remember, I said that in the old days, that money went to pay for the paper, the ink, and the delivery. Well, guess what? We don't have to pay for paper, ink, and delivery in the online world, so those costs go away. Now that 25 cents or 50 cents or a dollar can go to pay for news gathering, and that's how the model will be in the future.
Maybe we have a funny duality here. I'm the market-oriented economist, and I'm being pessimistic about the private production of public goods. And here's news, it's a public good, and you're relatively optimistic about the market's ability to produce this public good. Why produce news when other people can so easily copy it? How do you charge for that?
Well, you charge for it because if you want news, you have to go to my site, and if you go to my site, there's a paywall, and you'll have to pay for it. That's the way news will be, just as if you wanted my news in the past, you had to pay it 25 cents to get a copy of my paper.
But say what's on the Financial Times site or in the paper. A lot of that trickles down to me through Twitter, through blogs, through word of mouth, and even if I didn't pay for the FT, of course I do, but it still seems like a pretty public good to me. You learn what's there anyway through other free media.
I think that there's a limit to that. And, you know, as the world gets more complicated and we get more better educated, I don't think there's any reason to believe that most of us won't want to sit down at the end of the workday or sit down at the beginning of the day over breakfast or whenever we sit down and for an hour of uninterrupted time read about what's going on in the world from respected news sources that may have unique news to report and also might have unique and good opinions or analysis that you'd want to see. And you'd want to get the best one you can. Now, it's true, you could buy a little bit from the New York Times people and a little bit from this guy and a little bit from that guy and put together your own newspaper, and you might well be able to do that in the future, although that will cost you. But probably the most efficient, in both in terms of your time and in terms of your money, the most efficient way is to get one set of editors to pull all the best stuff together for you and present it to you each morning or each evening or whenever you want to sit down and do it. And that thing we'll call a news organization. We don't call it newspaper anymore because the paper part is no longer relevant, but we'll call it a news organization. And there'll be, in the English language, I bet 10 in the world that really account for 80% of the market, just as in most industries.
Thank you, Steve, for those remarks on the current status and also the future of newspapers. Steve is a Robinson professor at George Mason University. He's a columnist for the Washington Post, a Pulitzer Prize winner. And if you want to read more by Stephen Perlstein, well, just Google Stephen Perlstein to get Steve on many different topics.